Let's clap our hands to the Lord for what the Lord is doing in this conference. Hallelujah. Let's give him a big hand praise, everybody. Let's praise him. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to thank the Lord for what I'm hearing in this conference. I came here, and prior to coming, I prayed. I said, Lord, I want one thing out of this conference. I want to go into a place in the Spirit that I've never been. I am so hungry for it. I have to have it, praise God. I want God to use my life like never before, beyond my imagination. I believe this is our hour. I believe this is our day. Amen, amen. The Lord is moving mightily, and I want to be a part of it. I want to thank Brother Anthony for inviting me here and the wonderful hospitality. And we want to invite him publicly to Black Evangelism Conference in New Orleans in August this year. Amen. We want him to preach the word of the Lord there. Amen. I believe he's doing a great job, and we really respect this man and look up to him. Amen. Is the Lord good? Is the Lord wonderful? I'm telling you, after Brother Tom Fred Tenney finished this morning, I'm wondering why I'm going to preach here. I really don't mind going after Brother Tenney, but I wish I could have went before him. Amen. Praise God. But the Lord is good. Amen. He's a great God. It's so good to be here. And I want to get right into the word of the Lord. I want to greet Bishop and Sister Mangan and thank Sister Mangan for that powerful message yesterday. My Lord have mercy. Praise God. We've been hearing some wonderful words of the Lord. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you have them, with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Amen. Are you going to help me preach? You're going to have to help me preach because Brother Tenney just preached everything. Praise God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll start our text in verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgressor and disobedient received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to was to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. For unto the angels Have he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak? But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visits him? Thou makest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crown him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. I want to talk to you just for a little while this morning on a simple subject that I believe the Lord laid on my heart for this meeting. So great salvation. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, thank you. And we need the anointing, Lord. Just as on the day of Pentecost. Ha-la-ba-ha. Send the anointing, Father, that will destroy the yoke. Release us in the power of the Spirit. We thank you this morning. We praise you in Jesus' name. Clap your hands one more time and you may be seated. Quick According to U.S. News and World Report, and I quote, 100 years ago, scientists were grappling with the new knowledge that the energy emanated from radium could create images of people's bones, that atoms were not, in fact, the smallest units in the universe. Since then, we've learned that space and time are relative terms. We've flown at Kitty Hawk, smashed atoms, stepped on the moon, banished smallpox, and wired the world to the internet. It would be easy to presume that the last 100 years were the golden age of discovery. But they say, well, you ain't seen nothing yet. According to historians, church historians, 100 years ago, believers were grappling with this new knowledge, according to the book of Acts, that once you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you spoke in tongues. Shortly after that came the revelation of how to be baptized, the revelation of the name, the revelation that all that would be baptized not in the name of the Father, of the Son, or the Holy Ghost, but in the name of Jesus, that name which is above every name. Oh, hallelujah. Since then, we've come from brush harbors to the State House, from storefronts to the White House, from having church in North America in one language to having church just last week in 45 languages. Clap your hands, somebody. Clap your hands, everybody. Oh, since the merger, we've come from something like 113 foreign missionaries to over 500 foreign missionaries. We have over 700 home missionaries. And I say, well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, good God Almighty. You haven't seen anything yet. We're just cranking up. We're just gearing up. We're just getting ready to get ready to get ready for the main event. Oh, my God. Oh, I believe it's showtime. I believe it's time to show the world what the Church of the Living God is all about. Oh, clap your hands, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, you haven't seen anything yet. Woo! I believe like you believe that this is our hour. I believe God is going to give revelation of his greatness to his church. Paul said in Hebrews 1:3, he said, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. The word of God is eternally fixed in heaven. It is dynamic. It is powerful. The word will accomplish great things. The word of God is the creative word. According to creation, God spoke his word, and things that were not so became so. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In other words, God spoke to nothing, and nothing became something. Oh, yeah. Chaos heard it and became order. God said to darkness, let there be. be light. And there was light. Honey, this is our hour. This is our day. He's not going to give the ball to another group. He's going to give the ball to those that believe in the power of the apostolic message. Oh, yeah. The invisible became visible. And, of course, this process is summarized by what the psalmist wrote, by the word of the Lord, for the heavens made. Paul said, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Through faith, we understand two worlds, the natural world and the spiritual world. We're trying to get connected into the spiritual world. We want to see things we've never saw before. We want to feel that which we've never felt before. And I believe we're feeling things we've never felt before. I know if you're like me, you can't wait to go back home and release the power of faith in your community for such a time as this. Oh, hallelujah. Clap your hands, everybody. Let's have a little church around here. Oh, let's have a little church. We've got the theological renditions. You've heard powerful preaching. You've got the word of God. You've got a word tucked in your heart. We need to have a little church around here this morning. We need to have a little demonstration this morning about how much we believe God. I'm not coming with enticing words, but I'm coming in a demonstration of the power of our God. Oh, I'm telling you what our communities need. They don't need our arrogance. They need a move of God. They need the power of God. They need to feel the church rocking in your community. Oh, good Lord of heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, that's it. That's it. Come on, clap your hand. I'm here for something, and I'm not leaving until I get it. I'll wrestle all day. I'll wrestle all night until he blesses me. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Two schools of thought, beginning and Word. Beginning signifies duration. Prior to creation, there could be no measurement of duration, and consequently, no time. Time was produced by God's power for man to demonstrate or express his glory or his greatness to man. Sister Mangan preached yesterday that life is but a vapor. It's here and it's gone. Oh, you've got to use your time well. I give, I concur, I give my vapor to God. I'm giving everything I have to God in this hour, because I believe that this is the age of revelation, that God's gonna open up his greatness. And to those that are able to go beyond, you've got to go beyond where you are right now. You've got to be hungry to go beyond where you are now. As the preacher preached last night, I've got to go beyond. I've got to go to a place that I've never been. Woo! Come on, clap your hands. Oh, clap your hands. What kind of church is this? A sanctified church. You may be seated. I'm almost finished. I know you know that, Brother Keys. The Word, God, is revealed as an infinite, eternal, self-existing being who is the first cause of all that is and all that ever will be. Never was there a moment when God did not exist. God is theocentric. God is in the center of himself, never needing to leave himself to become himself. And he can see about you anytime he desires, because he sits on the circle of the earth. He can come to you on the wings of the wind. That's the kind of God I serve. That's the kind of God I worship. That's the kind of God I look up to. All power is in his hand. God will allow you to go to the edge of despair. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt it? And it looks like you're going down and you won't be able to get up. But God can speak to despair. God can say to despair, stop. You've got to get back. They belong to me. He's got all power in his hands, and he's working on behalf of his people. What a great salvation! Oh, somebody said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Honey, God can't lie. When God speaks, it's truth. If God came in here right now and said everybody's got on pink, friend, he wouldn't be lying, because it would turn pink. When God speaks, it becomes truth. I heard from God. I know we're in the third day. It's a resurrection time. It's revival time. It's time to get up and have revival, talk revival, eat revival, live revival, pray revival. Oh. Moses said, before the mountains were brought forth, and before you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Oh, praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll tell you what. The other night when Brother Mangan was preaching, and I want you to know, you're that message just made it easy for me, because it set the precedent. It set the stage. It was, my God, that was a message. Praise God of heaven. Hallelujah. And something happened to me when he brought those black children out here on the platform, and I was sitting back there, and something went through me. I began to shake, and my palms started sweating, because my whole life flashed before me. I thought I'd gotten away from it. I thought that it was all healed and covered. And then I was reminded by God of where he brought me from. Oh my God. I was reminded what God's done in my life, and how good God is. You know, we sing a song back home. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. He healed my body, touched my mind, and said, go on anyhow. I'm telling you, can't nobody, not the doctor, not the lawyer, can't nobody, not the hitting the lottery, not hitting the quick fix, can do me like Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh. And my whole life flashed before me, and I was remembering about my childhood came up, and I will tell you, because I'm healed, that I didn't have a pleasant childhood. I have no pleasant memories that I can tell you about. I lived in an environment where I was afraid all the time that I was going to get hurt or get mentally abused. Christmas was far away from us. We had no Mickey Mangans that would give gifts. It was just an empty day, another day, another passing day. There was no nurturing and no affection and no love. Oh, God. And when those children came out, brother, I'm telling you, when those kids came out, praise God, God had reminded me once again of where I brought you from. We were poor, and I was clothes that we wore. They were ragged and torn. I was teased, and my stepfather that stayed with us for a few years, he marred my soul more than I could imagine. He was abusive mentally and physically. He was the cruelest man that I've ever met on the face of the planet Earth. And when those children came out, God reminded me of where he brought me from. But he said, I got some more business with you. And he began to reach back down deep on the inside and begin to scrape out all of that hurt, scrape out all of those insecurities. He began to help me to hang my hang-ups where I don't need them. He began to help me put them up. And as I laid there sobbing, I laid there crying, I said something, said, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. The Holy Ghost is making it right. Took me, telling the honest, the goodness truth, 10 years after I had received the Holy Ghost, to even before my belief system would even allow me to believe that I could be somewhat of a small blessing to someone. I never believed that I could, never believed that I was really worth anything because of that life. That's why this salvation is so great. I'm like the song that they sing. I went to a meeting one night and my heart wasn't right, but something, oh Lord, something, oh good God Almighty, I said, but something got a hold. Something got a hold of me. And it's keeping me alive. And I'm hungry for more of it. I'm desperate for more of it. Oh, God, help us, Jesus. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Oh, go ahead. Let's have church around here. Hang up those hang-ups. What a great, great, great salvation. My story is your story. Because your story is my story. Sister Mangan was telling her story yesterday. That was my story. Because one day I'm going to look up here and say to my son, when did you lose your hair? Oh, I'm sorry. One day I'm gonna look my wife, call her and say, we made it. She told me in high school, because she knew what kind of life I had. Yeah. She said, I see something special in you. Oh, my goodness. I told her, I said, I married you because you're smart. And after I received this beautiful Holy Ghost, God, I'll do anything. Hallelujah. This is no comparison to where I came from. Hallelujah. My God, I didn't know it was this good. Whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. And let me tell you something. I've got an addendum to that. You can't run me off. I'm here to stay. I was born into the United Pentecostal Church, and I'm going to die in here. You can't legislate me out. You can't preach me out. Holiness is now. You better come better than that. They hadn't invented the creature that's going to cause me to leave this position in the kingdom of God. I don't understand why people get upset. This is God's salvation. God brought us to this hour, to this place, for this time. Oh, I read in Isaiah 28 where the Lord said, whom can I teach knowledge? Teach me something, Lord. Teach me knowledge about the Spirit. I want to walk after the Spirit. I want to move in the realm of the Spirit. Whom can I teach doctrine? Teach me doctrine, Lord. I'll hold on to it. I'm not letting this thing go just to get a bigger crowd. Oh, I could care less about the crowd, but I believe the crowd is coming. All I've got to do is hold my position. All I got to do is hold my place. I'm not letting my holiness standard down. I believe in holiness. I believe in uncut hair. I believe you got to live right. I believe you got to live holy. I believe that. And I'm not letting it down so I can get a crowd. I'm like the salesman. Two salesmen went to a remote country. And one of them, they wanted to sell shoes. And one, the first salesman reached the country and he looked around and all of the locals were not wearing shoes. So he wired back and said, cancel that shipment of shoes simply because they don't wear them over here. The second one entered into the same country. He looked around and said, oh my goodness. He called back home, said, send me a double order of shoes because no one here is wearing shoes. When God called me to New Jersey, I arrived there and there's 8 million people. Close to 8 million people were not wearing apostolic shoes. I radioed to headquarters. I radioed to God. I radioed to the Father via prayer. Send me a double portion of anointing because nobody in New Jersey is wearing apostolic shoes. Glory! Hey, this is not the hour to talk about they don't want to hear it. If they're not wearing it, they want to hear it. If they're not wearing it, they should hear it. Come on, let's take this here gospel to those that have not. Let's take it to them. This is our hour. This is our day. You said, did you get the anointing, the double anointing? I believe whatever you ask for in faith, you get it in faith. Your problem is you're waiting for something physical to happen. You're waiting for something physical to transpire. You're waiting to see blue stars or blue smoke. When you receive by faith, he transfers it into your spirit. And you know you got it. I got it because the Father wants me to have it. Raise your hands right now and say, Father, I want a double anointing for such an hour as this. Put your hand on your neighbor and say, God, give my neighbor a double anointing, a double anointing. Oh, what a great salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Go ahead. You got it. Go ahead. You got it. Go ahead. Clap your hands, signifying, devil, I got it. Devil, I've got it. Devil, I've got it. Oh, I've got it. Mm. And it feels mighty good. Doesn't it feel good? There's nothing like the anointing. There's nothing like the anointing flowing through you. There's nothing like it. Can't compare to it. Oh, hallelujah. Clap your hands one more time. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was having church one day, and the power of the Lord was moving in amongst the people. And in walked a young man that sat through our service. After service, I struck up a conversation with him. His name was John. And John had an IQ of about 160. He was quite an eccentric fella. And he said, I've been walking past this church for several weeks, and I've always wanted to come in, but I was afraid. But tonight I came in. He says, I like what I feel. He said, now, can you instruct me to read anything in the Bible before I come back next week? And so I said, okay, John, read the book of Acts. You just read the book of Acts. And so John evidently read that book of Acts 5 times. And so he comes to church Sunday evening, and I figure, well, John's here. I know he's going to come to the altar because I talked to him. So on the altar call, John was the first one. So I was there, put my hand on him, started praying for him. John looked up at me and said this. He said, Jesus, I know. That's what he said. Paul, I know. And when while he's saying that, I'm like, whoa. And then he opened his eyes and looked up at me and said, and who in the devil's name are you? And about that time, I was fired up spiritually. I was spiritually fired up. And I had my hand on his head, and I just pushed it a little harder. I said, devil, I am the son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I rebuke you. I command you to shut up right now. And when I said this, John fell back on his head. I'm telling you, there's power in that word. There is power and authority in the word. Stop speaking the word in a negative way. Start speaking the word according to the word. It's time for the church to live up to who we are. We're apostolics. I said, we're the apostolics. Oh, and the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting on us to take authority. Clap your hands one more time. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to finish this. Oh, are you with me? From a theological perspective, the book of Hebrews was written with a twofold intent: to confirm Jewish believers by showing that Judaism had come to its end through the fulfillment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, there was a danger lingering among the Jewish believers that some of them were going back to Judaism, and then some of them were just coming short the true faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would only go so far. They wouldn't go beyond. So Paul, in the right, about the things you've heard, you've got to practice, you've got to do. Talked about how great this salvation is. Talked about being confirmed with signs and wonders. Oh, praise God. You see, the reason we're not having the breakout is because when God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, that supernatural visitation, Moses, and said, I want you to go back to Egypt and have revival, in essence. Moses should have contemplated or discovered the great salvation of God. He was alive because of the Lord. When he was a baby, at 3 months, he was a good child. That means he didn't whine. He didn't whine. But after 3 months, he became a whiner. He got the taste of milk. Maybe that's why apostolics whine. They're caught up on milk instead of the meat of the word. Oh, apostolics love to whine and complain and bicker. I know that's not here, but it's where I come from. They whine that you can't even hardly get good fellowship because they're whining. They're whining when they ought to be dining on the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They ought to be dining at his table. And God orchestrated the deliverance of Moses, the one that gave the order to have the males killed. Moses ended up being raised in his house. And his sister was the handmaiden of Pharaoh's daughter. She says, "You want me to get you a Hebrew maid?" Hallelujah. And so she ran home and said, "Mother, guess what just happened? God performed a miracle. Moses is alive, and you are going to nurse him. Praise Jehovah," or "praise our God." And then at 40, he went out and killed a man. God orchestrated a safe passage for him. He should have realized that he was in the hands of God. He should have realized that God could protect him. But the problem was this: he never considered what God wanted. The problem is always about us. It's always about what we want, what we want to do. We're going through something because we didn't get a loan. We're going through something because we didn't get that land. Oh, it's quiet on me now. Y'all don't want to have church now. You just like to shout, huh? Oh, hello. We're going through something because our building is not big enough. That's not a bad problem. Oh, we're going through something because I can't do what I want. But what about what God wants? God wanted revival. Moses, this is not about your inadequacies. This is not about your lack of finances. This is not about my God, who you are. It's about who I am. I'm the God of heaven. And if we're going to have a breakout, we've got to consider what God wants. Moses didn't know that God had heard cries. He'd heard groaning and moanings and cries. He'd heard the cries of his people. I believe God is hearing the cries of our society, of our world. My God, I know where sin doth abound. Grace did that much more. That's why this is our hour. This is our day. We held our positions. When some left, compromised, preached prosperity doctrine, preached go on whatever they want to go on, we held our position. And now, guess what? It's our time. Open up the doors. Open up the closets. Because here come the apostolics. And we're armed and we're dangerous. I said we're armed and dangerous. Let me get finished this. I want to get finished because I want Wayne, Brother Wayne Huntley's coming. But I want to, U.S. News and World Report says this: that this 21st century, the new age of innovation, breaking generic codes, bold ideas from big thinkers. They say at no time in memory have Americans felt more optimistic about the future. And it says with great reason, because our grandchildren may live in a time when cancer is cured. People rightly sensing that we could be on the verge of another golden age of discovery. They are elated by all of this scientific technology. I don't want to get into all that. But Paul said in Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, Lord, help me. The in Christ is in his environment. The heavenly places is a place of faith, a place that I believe. And when I believe, I discover what God can do. Have you ever stopped to think about what makes us ordinary and what makes some extraordinary in the kingdom? I think those that are extraordinary, I think they see what needs to be done. And it's in the will of God, but it's unpopular. Because nobody has ever done it before. Like that lady that went down to the AIDS place and bringing AIDS patients here. That's never been done. People will say, whoa, wait a minute now. We've got some extraordinary people here. I believe Jack Cunningham is extraordinary. Being in a position of home missions, he's got to do things that's never been done and that's unpopular and take a risk that it's in the will of God and it'll be successful. But you know what? I think what makes them extraordinary and gives them that character is the fact that they're willing to try. When they get in the trial, they say, I count it all glory. They say, I count it all glory. Because they know that at the end of the struggle, that at the end of the trial, there's going to be some victory. There's going to be some shouting. There's going to be some praising. There's going to be some leaping. Friend, if you're in the valley right now, you ought to clap your hands. Because the miracle of the valley is that the Lord prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Come on, clap your hands, somebody. What is man? If man can discover what he can achieve, I say it's time for the church to discover what God wants us to achieve in this hour. Clap your hands, somebody. Clap your hands, everybody. And I'm closing. But after we got in New Jersey, we had some growth. I laid everything out, a 10-year growth period. Based on the past, I had growth numerically and financially. I had it laid out, looked good. I show you, go, ooh, man, that's impressive. That looked good. It never did happen. That wasn't what God wanted. It was what I wanted. I was planning on just letting the church grow. God said, we're going to let the churches grow. We're not going to let not just this church grow, but we're going to start some other churches and let them grow. It threw mine right out. But you've got to be willing. You've got to be willing. I said, you've got to be willing. It's not always about you, my friend. That trial you're going through, it's not your battle. It's God's battle. It's a great salvation. You know what I've discovered living for God? That when I'm in the valley, when I'm going through something, I just look up and say, Lord, how you gonna work it out? I said, how you gonna work it out? Because I know that my God is able. He's able to do anything. He's able to part the Red Sea. He's able. He's able to lift you to higher heights, to take you beyond where you stand. He can do anything. Hey, 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 hey. Not bad for an old, torn, bruised, broken boy raised in the ghettos of Philadelphia. When they want in the city that we live in, when they want somebody to give a speech for Memorial Day or for Labor Day, they call our church. When they want prayers at the Senate, when they want prayers at the mayor's meeting, they call our church. They call the apostolics. Oh, you're not hearing me. When they want people on those city boards, guess who they call? They call our church. They say, you've done a great work. You've done good. Such a great salvation. Oh, it's great. He gives us friends. Hey, Jimmy, come here. I'm getting ready to close. I'm sorry. Just give me a few minutes. Man, you almost 50, man. Cut that out. For 9 years, he and I walked the east side of New Jersey, became good friends, praise God. Babysitted each kids, hallelujah, argued, prayed together. We would have fought, but he was scared I was going to beat him up. But this has been a good friend to me. Introduced me to the Mangans. I didn't even know anything about them. Told me they pray all around the clock. They got it going on. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you get in this, you get a good friend. God gives you people that'll pray for you. God gives you people that'll help you. If you'll only submit, like he said, and listen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And now that we're separated by geographics, we're still buddies. Hello, everybody. We're still holding on. Oh, don't be too fast to run off. Hallelujah. But God gave him revival up there in New Jersey. I'm telling you, friend, what a great, 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 great salvation. Look at your neighbor and say, this is a great salvation. Come here, sister in-law, come here, sister in-law, come here, come here, come here. Hallelujah. Praise God. My wife, don't you try to jump up here. For 24 years, hallelujah, when nobody else believed in me, she was right there. Hallelujah. After we had revival, after we start having revival, she says, you know, everybody in the world knows you and nobody knows me. I want somebody to know me. I want somebody to know me not as sister-in-law, but as Vanessa-in-law. I said, it sounds good. Hallelujah. And when she married me, she was going to college to be a lawyer, but she married me, had to quit. We had kids. She said, well, I'm going back to school. Went back to school, walked up in that university, and this last May graduated valedictorian. Gave a speech. They say, we want you to give a speech. We want you to talk to us. So at the graduation exercise, they thought she was nervous. So they said, Vanessa, don't get scared if they don't clap, because they never remember these speeches anyway. She got up there for 15 minutes, and you would have thought we were in a Pentecostal service. That place went up in smoke. That place went up in a loud, my God, standing ovation. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, she was on the front page of the paper the next day. Just last week, they had their fall, the semester start. The president of the university, spring semester, the president of the university gives the speech to all the faculties, all those PhDs, master degrees. They asked her to give it. Praise God. Hallelujah. They just put her on the board of trustees. My God, we're getting ready to have a revival among PhDs, college professions. What a great salvation. I'm telling you, this is our day. This is our hour. There's nothing that God doesn't want to give us. He wants to give us all the good things. He wants to give us revival. Revival, revival, revival. And revival belongs to the apostolic. Clap your hands, everybody, and leap for joy. Praise. Come on, God, can he praise?